Blog Talk Radio.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometimes?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife, when she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
the pain turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the
Lord.
No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image that day."
Nothing.
I won't let nothing
turn me around.
I won't no weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta call through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined, I've got a made up mind, I'm gonna get my throne. She told her, she said, "I won't let nothing, no.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Nurtures. Certainly it's the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing, and we'll be glad in it. You're listening to Brother Ben Griffin from distance far known as York, Nebraska, out here where the country is filled with corn and coal, and it says pretty cows out here as well. I'm just so joyful to be here with you on this morning, this telecast, to help us realize the significance of being reconciled unto God. You know, this concept of reconciliation, actually, it has to do with finances. It has to do with making your books balance and understanding how calculations ought to occur. But Apostle Paul used this in this setting to mean the making amends with God. You know, from time to time, each of us get distracted. We go astray for even our mind, if not in actuality, and we had to be turned around. Sometimes we travel, and we're just in a daze, and we're just riding in our car, and we realize that we missed our exit, or we've gone too far. In order to get back on track, we have to reconcile. We have to turn around and regain our focus and our direction and get on the right track. And that's basically what reconciliation means. But the Apostle Paul lets us understand that reconciliation is something more significant than just getting misdirected from driving. It has to do with getting right and staying right and being right with God. You see, God never has to reconcile to us. We leave God. God never leaves us. And so we are tasked with the task of reconciling our lives to God, getting back on track, getting back in step with God. And that's what we want to talk about just for a moment or so on this morning. We want to say that reconciliation can only occur by the will of God. It can only occur by the act of forgiveness. It can only occur by the obedience of faith. And it can only occur as God allowed his son to be wounded for our transgression. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21 offers to us on this day. So the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in the world, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made to him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." The Apostle Paul is encouraging or admonishing the church in Corinth, because certainly the gospel had gone to Corinth many years earlier, and the gospel is for going to the culture and to convert the culture. But in this case, the culture converted those who had been won over by the gospel. And so because they've got misdirected, they got turned around, they got converted, still doing the converting, and now they must find their way back to God. They must reconcile themselves back to God. And Apostle Paul opens up with the most favorite passage most of us always quote, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I'd like to ask us this morning, are we ready for a new beginning? Oftentimes, a new beginning consists of reconciling our lives back to God. When we talk about reconciliation, how it can be enacted, it is by the will of God. In verse 18, by God's nature is a Savior. See, God is by nature. He loves to save. That's the point of how God is. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only God's Son. So by nature, God is a Savior. There's one man between God and man, Jesus Christ. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's in God's nature for us to be reconciled, all men to be saved. Or, of course, it's by the act of forgiveness. Verse 19 tells us, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God doesn't want any of us to be lost, but we become lost because of our own volition, our own action, our mistake, our misdirection. And when that occurs, God leaves the door open for us to come back. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. He went out on his own. He had to reconcile himself, come to himself, and said, this is what I do. I go to my father, say, Father, forgive me. I'm not worthy to be your child. Make me a hired servant. And I've sinned against you and against heaven. That's reconciliation. When we realize we have stepped out of bounds with God, we ought to go back and apologize, repent, apologize, and reconcile ourselves back to him. because this is what we call by the obedience of faith. See, we must be pushed in our own spirit to realize we have done wrong, and we must go back. Again, the prodigal son. And the Bible said when he came to himself, and he said, "Self, this is what I'll do. I'll go home because I know that God loves, my father loves me. He has people there who's not even his kin, and he loves them and he blessed them. I want to return back to the place where I know I'll be loved, fed, and made safe." So we must beg sinners to be reconciled. And everyone's not going to God automatically. Some have, but most don't. And so in verse number 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors." That is, we are representatives of God. We are speakers on behalf of God for Christ. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So we are to beg folk, change your life. Please come back to God or obey the gospel of Christ. Change your life. Get a new start. Don't go that way. Turn and go this way. Head towards Jesus and not continue to head towards the devil. And so we must be ambassadors. Now, he speaks on the behalf of the king. He represents the citizens of the faithful. And we are to be those who are silent business. You know, but also when we talk about being, we know it's by the will of God, verse 18, it's by the act of 19, by the obedience of faith, verse 20. But because Christ was wounded for our transgressions, we can have reconciliation. Had Christ not died, there would be no need to be reconciled. For he has made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that ye might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's promise can be fulfilled when you and I, who know better, we just reconcile ourselves back to God. We know we have been saying some things we shouldn't say. We've been doing some things we shouldn't be doing. We've been thinking some thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. We have been feeling ways we shouldn't be feeling. And we need to realize that these things, these emotions, these actions, these inhibitions, these thoughts, the inclinations, they have driven us far away from God, and we don't even realize it. But once we realize it, that I used to, I don't forgive like I used to, I don't attend like I used to, I don't read my Bible like I used to, I don't think as I once thought, I mean, spiritually and godly, and as Christian ought to, maybe we have drifted too far from shore. Even though we're going to church, we are still lost. Let us to God. I want to pray for those who are struggling. I want to keep family in our prayer. Brother Mark Thompson, I don't know the details of his family, and Joyce for all the great preaching and teaching and things left here in the brotherhood and in the kingdom of Christ. And now he's gone. And so we want to just pray for others who are struggling with health issues, and financial issues, and sin issues. We just pray for you as well, that you be reconciled, that you be healed, that you make stronger and strengthened in Christ Jesus. We ask for prayers for this telecast and all the preachers who are giving their sacrificial time. We pray that we continue to pray and show our gratitude towards them as they bring this truth to our hearing every day of the week. And plus they teach and preach it to all congregations, but they take time out this time of morning each day of the week to bring forth God's truth. We pray for those who are getting up and listening and those who will encourage others to take part. We want to pray for everybody who has any connection, any contact with this great ministry. We ask God to bless you richly in your walk today. This we do pray in your son Christ's name. Amen.